and we'll look into the word of the Lord. Father, open our hearts to your word this morning. I ask you to help me to share clearly a message that would bring life to your people. Your Holy Spirit is the teacher, Lord. I look to you to open up our understanding of your word. Help us to see the heart of Jesus in the things that we look at this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to continue in the book of Colossians. I'm in chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to read verse 16 through 23 and talk about that portion of the Bible today. As we've been going through the book of Colossians, you remember it's just magnifying Jesus Christ above everything. And when you see the word therefore in the Bible, one guy always told me, when you see a therefore, you ask the question, what's the therefore there for? In other words, there's something in front of this that when you say therefore, it's because of something you said previously. So when he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you concerning some things, why is that therefore there? It's because in the previous verses, he was telling us that we are complete in Jesus Christ. That he is the one who died for our sins. He is the one who took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He is the one who defeated our enemy, Satan. And we are complete in Jesus Christ. He is what we need and all we need for our salvation. And so he says, therefore, since Jesus is this, he is your salvation. You are dead, buried, and raised in Christ. Therefore, now listen, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. I want to talk to you today about a topic called legalism. Legalism. They had it back here, and it still works in the church today. It's important that we understand that legalism is out there, and it's an easy thing for Christians to fall prey to. We have to be on our guard against it and not only watch it doesn't come to us. We've got to make sure that we're not propagating it. How many of you know it's easy to propagate legalism as well? So we'll talk about it. So he says, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. What was happening here is there were what was called the Judaizers who were coming into like a Gentile church and trying to convince them that they needed to come back to Judaism or the things of the law in order to be saved. And Paul was preaching to these people that, hey, it's only through Christ. You are complete in Christ. It doesn't matter that you eat this food or this drink or that you keep these festivals or new moons or the Sabbath. And he said in verse 17, those things he just mentioned there, are a shadow of the things to come. How many know what a shadow is? Well, a shadow is basically a representation of something that has substance, something real. I gave you this example before. If you come home from a long trip and you're running out to see your wife and you are running to her from the west and the sun is behind your back and it's casting a long shadow across the ground, and you're running, honey, I'm home, honey, I'm home. And she looks down and she sees the shadow. How many of you know most women would not dive on that shadow and say, oh, I love you, honey, I'm so glad you're back, because there's no substance there. But if she looks and follows that shadow, eventually it points up, and there's the real man coming. Here he comes. The real one's here. But how many of you wives now, that guy's been gone a long time, you would settle, I'm going to have an evening with my shadow. I'm going to spend the evening with my husband's shadow. He's been gone so long, I just miss him so much. Bring me that shadow. And you walk in the house and the sun's gone, so you turn the sun lamp on. I got to see that shadow. See, nobody does that. And what Paul was saying here is these things, these foods and drinks and the festivals and the new moons and Sabbath, these were all shadows that pointed to Christ. He says the reality or the substance, or the King James Version says the body, is Christ. And so often we get focused around those items that we miss what God is calling us to, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism," or King James uses the word voluntary humility. It's kind of like coming against yourself, you know, like hardships, fastings, you know, rigorous things against your body to kind of bring yourself into some sort of a spiritual place. So he says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind." Verse 19, it says, it shows you the opposite. They're doing this instead of this. And here's what there's the instead of. He says, "They are not holding fast to the head." See, earlier in this chapter, earlier in this book, I think it's in chapter 1, he says, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Jesus is the head, the church is the body. How many of you know that if we're going to function correctly as a body, as members of Christ's body, you have to be connected to the head? If I cut my hand off, it is no longer connected to the head. It's going to wither and die. And so there's a need to be connected to the head. And what Paul was saying is those people who are focusing on these shadows, those people who are disqualifying you with this need for asceticism and voluntary worship of angels and all these things he was talking about, they're cutting themselves off from the head. They're focusing on the wrong things rather than that relationship with Jesus Christ, which is primary and necessary. So he says they're not holding to the head. The King James Version says they have lost connection with the head. I looked up the word hold, to hold to the head, because it seemed, how do I hold to your head, Lord? I want to hold to your head. How do I do it? And this word hold is the same word that's used when the soldiers came into the Garden of Gethsemane and it says they arrested Jesus. It's like you take hold of somebody and you're not letting go. If you go out and you capture a criminal, you take him and you hold with all your might. There's no way he's getting free. It was also a word that was used if a sheep fell into a hole on a Sabbath day, and he says, you would reach down and take hold of that sheep and bring it in. It's like taking hold of Jesus, like I'm going to hang on to him, and I'm not going to let anything take him out of my hand. What was happening here in this church in Colossians is that there were people coming in trying to move this church away from that connection to the head to focus on other things. He says they weren't holding to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together. Remember those two words. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. The whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So the point I want to make in that verse there is that God has a growth plan for his body. You know, he has a way that he wants to nourish it, and he has a way he wants to knit it together or compact it. It's his growth plan. It doesn't come from us doing these external things that are mentioned up above there. The asceticism, abstaining from this, doing that, withholding this festival, this feast day. That's not his growth plan. His growth plan is called nourish and knit together. And when the body of Christ is being nourished and knit together, it says it will grow with the growth of God. It will grow as he determines. Verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? do not handle, do not taste, and do not touch. Have you ever heard those within the realm of Christian life today? See, if we have died with Christ, if we're dead, buried, and rose, we're part of His body. He's the head. I've died, I've buried, I'm rose, I'm living this new life in Christ. Why am I still living as part of this world where it says, don't touch this, don't taste that, don't handle this? And so much of our Christian life becomes centered around those things. That becomes our focus rather than staying connected to the head, which is Jesus Christ. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Verse 22 says this is referring to things that all perish as they are used. It's according to human precepts and teachings. How many of you know if you want to follow the Lord, you want to follow God's precepts and teachings, not human precepts and teachings? Verse 23, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom. You know, if somebody comes around you who has lived a life of asceticism, it appears to be wise, doesn't it? Wow, that person's way more spiritual than me. They're fasting 2-3 times a week. They're doing this, they're doing that. They're over here, they're running here. That's not the mark. That is not the measure. He says this has an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. It's a religion we make up on our own. It's a human precept or human teaching, a self-made religion, and asceticism and severity to the body. But listen to this. It says, they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You know what? I mean, the amazing thing there is that I believe many times the legalism that we walk in are well-intentioned desires to move us toward holiness. But the Bible says these have no power to deal with the indulgence of my flesh. How many of us do we know people who, I won't do this, I'm not going to watch TV the rest of my life. You know what? They're still struggling with sin. And so we kind of move away from this relationship with Christ that gives me death, burial, resurrection, and new life connected to the head. And I lay that aside and I settle for something less, or I'm making all these rules up in my life. I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I won't do these 5 things, and I'll do these 10 things, somehow thinking it's going to get me closer to Him, but it still has no power to do anything with my sin nature. Only Christ can deal with that. Only Christ can deal with that. So this is a teaching of legalism, and I want to reiterate a few things here. Basically, let me give you a definition. Legalism is simply pursuing good works, rules, laws, or methodologies to gain God's favor. You know, if I do these things, I'll be good with God. I would bet, if I was to ask for a show of hands, that most of us here at some point in our Christian experience have been under or walked in some kind of legalism. And it's a terrible place to be. But I'm telling you this, the opposite is not license. The answer is pursue the head. The answer is connection to Jesus Christ. See, because some people, well, I'm not under legalism, I can just do whatever I want. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, it's not that either. It's not that. So I'm not under legalism. Well, no, you're not under legalism, but you are connected to the head. What is the head telling you? See, that's where you gotta kind of land on that thing. Sometimes we use rules and commandments as a way of salvation. Like in Acts 15, verse 1, those people came to the Galatians and said, unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. See, that was legalism. They were bringing them back under Judaism. These guys were genuinely saved, just like you and I were. They believed in Jesus. They were saved. They were going to heaven when they die. And somebody came up and said, listen, unless you are circumcised, you're not going to heaven. And thank God somebody like the Apostle Paul had enough spiritual fervor to get up and say, no, there's no way. You cannot come against the freedom we have in Christ. And so people put on these rules or their self-made religion, human precepts and teachings of man. And people become disconnected from the head and they're focused more on, I got to be circumcised, I got to be this, I got to be that. And they lose that relationship with Jesus, which will guide them through life and will guide them toward holiness, always. Sometimes we require these legalism, I'll give a definition still. So sometimes it's rules or commandments that we need for salvation. Sometimes it's rules or regulations we put on people's lives to measure sanctification. You know, you are really growing in the Lord if you don't have a TV. How many have ever had that? How many, has the Lord ever spoken to anybody here not to have a TV? You bunch of... All right. I'm speaking to the wrong people here today, I guess. No, sometimes, you know, what happens is maybe somebody's got a problem with their TV, you know? And the Lord comes and says, you know what? I'd like you to just put that away. It's for you. You have a serious problem. Okay, so I put it away. All of a sudden, this becomes a rule for Christianity. And you're on a campaign now to get everybody else to get rid of their TV. The Bible never says that. And so now you take a do not touch, do not handle, do not taste mentality and say, you know what? If you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you should get rid of your TV just like I got rid of my TV. And so you begin to create these man-made rules that aren't biblical. And people begin to judge themselves. Am I really walking in holiness? Man, look at this guy here because he's got rid of his TV. The Lord told him to get rid of his. Maybe I should get rid of mine. And we start looking at the wrong things again. That's just one example of how this can translate into the real world for today. Sometimes we do it with the clothes we wear. You know, if you wear these kind of clothes, how do you call yourself a Christian? If you wear this kind of hair, I don't have a problem with that. If you have this kind of makeup, if you do these kinds of things for recreation, if you have this kind of entertainment, you know, we start, and again, all of these are well-intentioned. They're designed to kind of guide the flock toward holiness, but these don't create holiness. It creates anxiety, judgmentalism, inferiority complexes, and everything else that's negative. Sometimes we have personal preferences and we make them biblical absolutes. But if you look up in the verses here, here's about five things that legalism produces. One, it has no value. I told you this already. It has no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Number two, it creates a judgmental spirit. You know, he says in verse 16, don't let anybody judge you. And in verse 18, he says, don't let anybody disqualify you. Who's he talking about? He's talking to those who are imposing these kinds of regulations out there. Don't let that happen. Don't let people judge you for those things. Don't let them disqualify you, because when legalism comes in, judgmentalism comes in. Another thing that comes is people become pushy. He said in verse 18, don't let them insist on, they are insisting on asceticism. Insisting is pushiness to me. Another side of legalism, it produces pride. It says in verse 18 that they are puffed up without reason. Somehow, if I can walk in these things, if I can keep these rules, if I can do this, all of a sudden I feel spiritually superior than everybody else. Paul says they are puffed up. That doesn't sound like a good quality to me. They are puffed up. So spiritual pride begins to rise up in our hearts, and we start looking down on others that we're better than them because we do this or that. And the fifth thing is, it's simply not spiritual. It looks spiritual, but it's not. Paul calls it a sensuous mind. NIV calls it an unspiritual mind. You need to know that people who are coming at you with legalism are unspiritual. It is unspiritual, plain and simple. Don't buy into it. Be able to stand your ground with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Be connected to the head. Let him bring the guidance to you. It's an unspiritual thing. The dangers of this, here's a few. One is in verse 23, it says it has the appearance of wisdom. It often does. It sounds, wow, that sounds really wise, like I should be doing this. But does anybody know something else in the Bible that had the appearance of wisdom? Can anybody remember something that had the appearance of wisdom? Way, way back in the Garden of Eden. It says, the woman saw that the tree was desired to make one wise. So legalism has an appearance of wisdom. It's not wisdom. It's an appearance of it. The second danger is it is a human precept. The legalism comes from human precepts. It's man's teachings. It's promoting self-made religion. It's not, yeah, you can pull a scripture and say, well, you know, this means this, and you can just go ahead and interpret it that way, but legalism is a human precept. Third thing, the third danger, is it moves people to submit to the wrong things. He said, if you are dead with Christ, why do you continue to submit to these regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. See, our submission is to be to Christ. All of a sudden, when legalism comes into our life, we're submitting to every other thing than him. And so it puts our submission on wrong footing. The most dangerous, I believe, the most dangerous part of legalism is that we forget that Christianity is about Jesus. It is about Jesus Christ and our relationship to him. They are not holding to the head. Somehow they become disconnected. They're not connected to the head. It leaves us empty, tired, defeated, with a wrong view of Christianity. I would bet you today that if you would go and talk to some people that you know who are no longer in church, probably somewhere along the line, they've experienced legalism. And for them, Christianity has become nothing more than a set of rules that I can't keep, and I give up in defeat. And that's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I share that with you. Don't be a person who's promoting legalism. Don't come under it. Stand with your relationship with Jesus. Let me just look at a couple other things here. I just want to close up on a couple of points. But I'm going to skip a few things here just for the sake of time. What does it mean to be part of the body of Christ? Because, see, when we look at all those things that describe legalism there, it's a motivation to push people to growth, to be holy, to be more godlike. Yet it's a wrong direction. He says the way the church will grow is as we have connection to the head. Read this with me in Colossians 2:19. It says, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the head is Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, the whole body, members of the body of Christ, is supported and held together. Those are two words you need to remember. The body of Christ is supported and held together by ligaments and sinews. Who knows what those are? The older you get, the more you know. By ligaments and sinews, it says it grows as God causes it to grow. And so his answer is, remove yourself from legalism, get connected to the head, because from the head, the growth that God wants to bring about will happen. Two things, support and knitting together, nourishment and compacting together is what the Bible says. So I want to talk about those two things quickly. What does it mean when he says support, and what does it mean when he says knit together? Because this is what the body of Christ is about. This is where true growth that comes from the Lord is about. It's us being connected to the head and being directed by him in these two areas, support and being knit together. Well, support, I believe, is talking about our spiritual gifts. The word support in the Greek language means to furnish, to fully supply, to aid or contribute. It actually comes from a Greek word where we get our word choreography. Anybody know what a choreographer does? What does a choreographer do? He gets people to dance together. And Jesus is the head, and he's choreographing the body together. And it's great when the body hears from the head and responds to the head, so you don't have one foot going over there and one foot going over there. He is the choreographer. What is my place, Lord? How do I support the body? When I'm connected to the head, he will use me to support. And it's my spiritual gifts. Look at these scriptures. I'll just give them to you. My notes will be on the internet, so you can download them if you want. But I'm going to read these quickly to you. Ephesians 4:16, it says, From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How's the church going to grow? Each part does its work. Each part connected to the head, being choreographed from the head. What is it you want me to do, Lord? And you step into that. Then the church grows the way he wants it to grow. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each person has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Can I tell you this? Every person in here, in this room today, if you're saved and you're part of the body of Christ, you have a gift. Some of those gifts are shared here in the congregation. Maybe you're a worship leader. Maybe you're working in the nursery. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Some of those gifts are going to happen out here. We heard testimonies today about people sharing the gospel at a lunch, at work, sitting down. You know, we're sharing Christ. That's a gift. Sometimes we go out and we love our neighbor. That's a gift. It's giving. It's showing mercy. There's all kinds of gifts. But what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I'm part of the head. I want to be connected to the head. What's my part? Can I encourage you to find part and really step into it? Because that's when we'll find the kind of growth he wants us to have. The maturity, the strength, the stability, the encouragement as a body of believers. In Colossians 4:17, Paul says, tell Archippus. What kind of name is that? And that's probably pronounced wrong. See to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. There was an effort there to say, hey, come on. You have received something from the head. He's choreographing us. What is your part? What is the place? Where do you play? And then you step into that. And it builds the body. It's support. It nourishes the body. How many here have ever been supported or nourished from anybody else in this church in any way possible? Like teaching, encouragement, inviting to your home, giving, showing mercy, counsel. Can I see your hands? That's how the body grows. It's how the body grows. That's coming from the head, and it's how we grow. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan into flame the gift of God that is yours. The next thing he says is being knit together. We're supporting and we're knitting together. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have an obligation in the body of Christ for unity. That's one of the ligaments. The bond is that word, ligament. We're knit together. He's the head, we're the body. I can't be the member of the body of Christ and hate this member. Because this is part of me. I can't go around slapping myself all the time because it's part of the body of Christ. And if he's the head and I'm responding to the head, yes, I have a responsibility to support and nourish the body, but I also have a responsibility to promote unity in the body with my relationships. And if I can help counsel others to reconciliation and to mend relationships, we have this obligation because we're part of the head. You know, we can sit around all day long and argue and fight and complain, but yet, man, we're not watching our TVs. You see what I'm saying? Our focus is in the wrong place. And so it's like the head, Jesus Christ, move within us, Lord, to support and to knit together the body of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 12, this is my last scripture. I might have one more. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself. Listen to these words. Clothe yourself with compassion. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. You know what that word means? Put up with everybody. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Above all these virtues, put on love, which binds. This is the word we're talking about. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In the body of Christ, we are called to bind, to compact, to knit together, as well as to support. This comes from the head. This is our focus, not legalism. To knit the body together. My last scripture is Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We have everything we need to build ourselves up in love. We have everything we need to grow as God wants us to grow. It's simply saying, I'm going to be a responsible member of the body of Christ. How is that? Well, I'm going to find out what's my part. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find out if I have relationships that need reconciled, I'm going to reconcile them. I'm going to support and knit together because I'm following ahead. I guess you can stand with me. Do you have something you want to share in light of this? Okay, get that ready there. You can stand with me. I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to have Andrew share something. I guess to me, when I think about this message today, I wrote down two words that I believe I could have said these two words, and that's all I would have had to say today. And you're thinking, why didn't you? These words are follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus wants. Just follow me. He's saying that to us. I'm the head, you're the body. Follow me. Listen to me. Do what I'm asking. I love that when Jesus walked down there and he called his disciples, it was a simple message. And he looked at people like Matthew the tax collector. He says, follow me. Just follow me. Come on. When he was telling Peter at the end about, you know, coming after him and after kind of restoring Peter, he says, just follow me. Well, what about John? Don't worry about John. Follow me. Follow me. And I believe if we will each commit to just say, Lord Jesus, you know what I really want to do? I want to be connected to the head. I want to follow you. I'm going to avoid legalism, either promoting it or responding to it. I want to follow you. Let me hear your voice. Let me have a heart to respond. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, earlier I had something I wanted to share, and the Lord like stopped me. I didn't understand why, but now I understand. Something the Lord's been working on me this week. He's been kind of teaching me, but I think it's for everyone here. He was showing me the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the good things that we want in our life. These are things that every Christian strives for. We want those things. And the Lord gave me a picture, and it's an old analogy, but he repurposed it, about spinning plates. You know, you ever watch someone spin plates? They're over here, and they're spinning this plate, and this one over there, okay, I got to get down here, and they spin this plate, and they're going running around like a madman trying to get these plates spun. And Lord said that that's what you're doing with these fruits of the Spirit. You're trying to will them into being. You're saying, I want to become more loving. Okay, I'm really getting lovely here. Okay, I'm not very patient, though. I'm going to come over here, get a little more patient, then, you know, run over here. Okay, I got more self-control while love's starting to fall down. And see, we can do that as believers. We can really get into this groove of trying to will things into happening. I'm going to become that what I want to be. And the thing is, when you are like what he's saying, when you knit yourself to the head, when you just grab a hold of the head and say, Holy Spirit, I can't have the fruit of the Spirit, because then it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of Andrew. only the Spirit can give the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in my life. And so we need to be people who are clinging to the head, who are really allowing him to spin the plates, him to do the work. And, you know, this week, I've been changing my mindset. I'm not trying to will myself into doing anything. I'm saying every day I'm just praying this. I'm saying, Lord, I want to be a man who is just driven by the fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will do the work. That is not me anymore. And I've been having so much fruit from that. So,
praise God. Good word, Andrew. Lord Jesus, I pray. I first of all want to pray for anybody in this church sitting here today that's ever been affected negatively through legalism. I just pray you set them free, Lord. Lord, help them to see it for what it is, that they're not a strange plant. They're not a failure. They're not an unholy person. But I pray, Lord Jesus, there will not be an attitude against you, against your church, maybe because of some bad experience like that. I pray that all of us would have a longing to be knit to the head, to be holding to you, Jesus, the head of the church. May your life flow through ours. May we be followers of Jesus. And Father, I also pray that you would not allow us, put a red flag up in our heart when we get on our own hobby horse, when we feel like we have to push somebody into some measure of holiness or set up a standard or somehow. Lord, help us guard against that. Help us to be those who would encourage that relationship with Jesus above all. I ask you for that, Lord. Help us to walk in the true liberty and freedom that Christ gives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys.